Today on the Callahan Podcast, well, another police officer was shot, overnight shot and killed in Alabama. It was a retired police officer in St. Louis, shot protecting a pawn shop yesterday or 2 days ago. Before that, four cops in St. Louis shot by rioters and looters. But you know what Attorney General Maura Healey of Massachusetts calls that? That's what has to happen for forests to grow. Amazing. The barbarians aren't at the gate. The barbarians are in elected office. It is frightening. And also today, we got the NBA, the wokest of woke leagues. The NBA, we now know what you're not allowed to say. If you want to work in the NBA, you're not allowed to say all lives matter. We'll explain that and give you all the latest looting and rioting news on today's Callahan Podcast, presented by DCU. You love your car, but hate your car payment? No problem. Refinance your car today with DCU. And they can help lower your monthly payment, your interest rate, or both. Applying is easy, and their loan experts will help you find the loan term and the payment that fits into your budget. Get out of that high-rate loan and get the interest rate and the payment you deserve from DCU. Learn more and apply today at dcu.org/refinance. Insured by NCUA. Membership required. All right, Callahan, let's do this.
This is the Jerry Callahan Podcast.
Right, before we get started here, Tom Shattuck and Dave Cullinane, I have a request for both of you, and I hope you understand. I would like you to take a knee first. Please take a knee. Take a knee. If you don't, I'm coming to your houses. I'm going to break your windows. All right. But just take a knee. We'll all get along. All right. Bow before me. Take a knee. All right. And say, something. But I have to say, I've had a few fights on Twitter this week with people about whatever. It's a very divisive time. We know that. When I mock or criticize the cops who are taking a knee, including the Boston Police Department outside the headquarters, and then they say, hey, the protesters went home. The looters didn't loot when we took a knee. I don't care. It's a terrible visual. It's happening in many cities. They're demanding the police take a knee. I think it was, might have been down in Brockton last night. There was a group of cops and some took knees. One was a woman cop. She went up and hugged in this time of social distancing, hugged a few protesters and then took a knee while hugging them. And then I think maybe half the cops just stood and watched. They booed the cops who wouldn't kneel.
Yeah.
And I'm home cheering. I'm saying, don't kneel. Yeah. I mean, it's just embarrassing. They're taking pictures, they're taking video. So many people are criticizing, disagreeing with me because I don't want cops to kneel before looters. I don't know where you guys come down on that.
What's the big deal with kneeling and just saying, hey, I understand what you're trying to do? They were all peaceful yesterday. There was a peaceful protest. Well, right up
there. It was very peaceful.
We could get to Brockton.
But can we go to the Dunkin' Donuts owner whose business was trashed, looted, burned?
Okay, hold on. Well, before we go on to this, because it's going to get there, can we address the turtle not in the room in the moment?
No, we'll get to the turtle not in the room.
Well, it's in my headline. I'm misleading people. It's on Facebook and on Twitter because I have to set it up in advance. And Turtle Boy apparently is not with us, though he was supposed to be with us. So we will track him down at some point, but he's not getting back to me at the moment. Maybe he's mad at me.
And he's got some great posts this week. He's on a roll. So we were going to talk to him about some of his stories. He called her the biggest C word in the world. And I think it's a pretty good description, a hairdresser in a Boston suburb. We're going to get to her because she is just, he calls her evil. And I don't disagree. We found the worst person in the world who's not, you know, murdering people. She's not actually committing crimes, but she's just the worst Karen we've found yet. We'll get to her when we talk to Turtle Boy. But I am curious to people like you guys, you know, Shattuck's a smart guy. Dave's a good guy. Do you guys look at that and say, don't get off your, I mean, you're, it's symbolic. That is symbolic. They're on their knees and some cops aren't. Now, right. If you told me, and to me, cops are generally very pragmatic. They're not, you know, they're not generally ideologues. They want to get through the day. They want to do their jobs. Sometimes they want to get a little overtime, you know, and buy a boat. They're like normal people. They're not in it to change the world. This, they're just like, yeah, maybe if I do this, everyone will go home and I can go home. If that's your answer, yeah, I guess I understand. But if you're saying, I'm going to show solidarity, lots of these people hate you. I mean, you look at the signs that they carry. Well, look at the spray paint, ACAB. I don't know if you call it ACAP. All cops are bastards. That's their new catchphrase. And you're kneeling before them? I'm sorry. Right. I find it very uncomfortable to look at.
No, what you have is that it's the mob subordinating the only authority figure around. And you need the police to be projecting some kind of authority. They need to be seen as a force to, you know, bring some kind of peace and order to the neighborhood. You don't have some 19-year-old kid force you to you subjugate yourself before him. That's ridiculous. And one of the cops, I think she was in Roxbury, she had already done it. It was the cop who sings at the garden sometimes. Yeah. She's very nice, very talented. She had already done it. She was doing a live shot with Channel 5, and a protester came over to her and started yelling at her, saying, you need to take a knee. You need to take a knee. You need to do it right now. And she said, wait, I already did it. I just did it in front of cameras. Everybody saw it. And she said, no, you need to do it now. We didn't.
Oh, man.
As if there's like going to be several showings per day of knees by these cops so that everybody gets to be in the audience for it. And it's ridiculous. And it's never going to stop. All it does is empower people. You don't.
That's what I'm. That's what I was going to say, Shattuck, is it's going to become it's already become a trend, and I don't think it's going away. And I mean, it's honestly, once it starts, I think every city, every rally, every protest.
Yes.
You're going to see someone say, hey, there are the cops. Let's make them kneel. And it's extended beyond cops, by the way. I don't know if you've seen the video. I think it was a setup, but a Black Lives Matter guy goes up to this woman. She's walking down the sidewalk and he says, I think you should take a knee and apologize for the sins of your ancestors. And she does it. She's got a mask on, but she's kind of cute. I'm thinking I thought she was going to turn and run because the guy was like, well, she was intimidating.
Right. She was startled. And you'd figure that must have been an imposing scene to be a woman to have somebody in a time of riots and street violence sprint at you from across the street. And I expect to hear feminist voices. I would think that Alyssa Milano and, you know, some other folks who were very, very.
Christy Teigen. You think she liked that?
Yeah. I mean, and that's crazy. But and even if that was a setup, there are plenty of videos out there of large groups of dumb, guilt-ridden white idiots taking knees and apologizing for their privilege and chanting along with this long apologetic screed, chanting in unison, saying, we are so sorry for this. We're so sorry for that. It's pathetic. It's pathetic.
I have a couple of friends who are cops, and I'm gonna reach out to them today and just say, are you guys on board with this? Because it's not going away. And when I don't know how long the rallies, the protests are going to last. Last night, they were mostly peaceful. That's the catchphrase. That's the Chiron and all the TV show. Mostly peaceful, except for the cop who was shot in cold blood in Alabama, Stephen Williams, except for the Dunkin' Donuts in Brockton that was torched and looted. Mostly peaceful. So you got that going for you.
Except for all the ordinances of fireworks and all that stuff came down from New Hampshire as well.
And Cullinane was mentioning that Brockton went national, and it did. Yeah. Brockton's a suburb, a working class suburb of Boston. It's the home of champions, home of Rocky Marciano and Marvin Hagler and others, and Peter McNeely. I think he's a Brockton guy. I mean, but anyway, it was getting national attention because there were choppers, first of all, which brings you great visuals. If you have a helicopter over a rally, you can see how big it is. And once it was dark, they started shooting fireworks. Now, fireworks aren't really that dangerous, but they are great for TV. If you're sitting there watching TV, I mean, it's startling to see some of those fireworks go off, particularly when they go off like at the cops, near the cops. You're thinking, is this an assault? Is this a weapon that's it's going to take someone out? So they had that going for them. But again, mostly peaceful, mostly peaceful.
Right. And speaking of that, so on the word peaceful, I know that Dave is now doing PR for Antifa. So last night I looked up the word peaceful and it means one, free from disturbance and tranquil. Well, I haven't noticed any of these conventions of peaceful folks that was free from disturbance and tranquil. And how can it be most, if you're a cop and you get a brick to the head and you have to get stitches and you're lying there and you hear that the media, because of the leadership in the community, is still calling it peaceful, don't you feel a little underappreciated?
You know what? If I'm a business person in the city of whatever, Boston, Philadelphia, New York, my whole worldview has changed. I'm disgusted at the thought. I'm looking at the top stories on the Boston Globe website. The first one is the mostly peaceful protests and the looted, burned Dunkin' Donuts. The second one is Governor Charlie Baker explains phase two of his reopening. And you're going, what? Phase two? If you're a business owner, you're saying, I'm not really concerned with phase two. I have to clean up the mess that the mostly peaceful protesters made in my restaurant, in my store. I still have broken glass everywhere. They stole all my merchandise. And I'm worried about phase two. Remind me again. I'm serious. Remind me again why we have phases. Remind me again why we had a shutdown. Here's you want to see. I told you I'm uncomfortable with the visual, the cops kneeling or the white woman kneeling before the Black Lives Matter guy. I don't know if you could find that, Dave, but it's cringy. You're going, oh, man, don't do this. And I think you're right. I don't blame her as much as I blame the cops, because maybe she thought he was intimidating. He was scary and was going to, you know, get in her space. And she just wanted to get it over and done with. But those visuals are hard to watch. The visual of the video, I don't know if you guys have seen it, where I think it's New York and you have the line of protesters and they get the signs, some of which are vulgar, some of which say, fuck the police. And they're holding them up and the AK. They go by a hospital and the nurses and doctors come out in their scrubs and cheer them. Now, I'm not sure if it was like this for the whole protest, the whole line of protesters. But the one I saw, they were closer than 6 feet from each other. Many of them not wearing masks. They were not wearing gloves. They were not social distancing. And the same people who literally confronted the protesters 2 weeks ago who wanted to go to work and said, you're going to kill us all. You know, you're selfish because you want to go to work, were cheering protesters who wanted to, I don't know, change the system, who wanted to loot, wanted to, you know, throw things at cops. The nurses and doctors, and I know Turtle Boy's been blogging about this, not all of them, but many of them have been exposed as frauds as well. They don't care about social distancing. If they were, they wouldn't be out cheering people who were violating the order.
Right. And 2 weeks ago, that was the warning from people on social media, people in everybody's neighborhood and every community Facebook page, was you will have blood on your hands if you do this. Right. History will look negatively on people who did this. You know, it's all
confronted them. They confronted them. You saw the streets. Yes, they stood up bravely
to them in their scrubs, Jerry. Remember, you know, not only were they the frontline heroes, but they were the frontline heroes to ignorance and hatred, too. You know, in other words, they pushed back against Trump. So that's all that really matters. More than ever, this is all just these two black swan events have been the fight against Trump one and then the sequel, fight against Trump two. And one is masked as the epidemic and one is the great race riots and racial inequality reckoning of 2020. But, man, it is so much about Trump. And that's where you see it everywhere. Trump walked across the street with a Bible to a church, Jerry, and it's the end of the universe.
I didn't realize at the time what a big deal it was, and they accused most media outlets accused him of clearing out the protesters and using tear gas just from that appearance. Mm-hmm. It turns out both were not true. It doesn't matter. I mean, people like Liz Warren, who never bother with the truth, were spouting that narrative that Trump used tear gas on peaceful protesters. Schumer did it from the floor, the Senate floor, calling out Trump for violating their constitutional rights. First of all, if the president wants to go somewhere, what's he supposed to just say, excuse me, to go through all the protest? Of course, you're going to clear people out. Right. But apparently they didn't do that, and it wasn't tear gas. So the story was wrong on many levels. But to me, I'm going, so what?
I mean, no, but it was basically tear gas. It wasn't exactly tear gas. But it was
tear gas. You we're can gonna walk right through it. It doesn't burn your eyes.
Hey, Antifa Dave is consistent, man.
No, I'm just saying. We're not going to argue over what type of chemical and how it reacted on somebody's eyes. They used something to disperse the protesters, which I agree with you was the right thing to do. You're going to protect the president when he goes clearly.
I mean, you want to make fun of him for the Bible, you know, holding up the Bible, go ahead, or make fun of him for whatever. They're going to call him fat. I don't care. But to just make up a story, use tear gas just so he could walk to that church. You know, he walked to the church because they tried to burn the church. It was a powerful visual. I mean, and I, you know why I liked it? He didn't say much. He didn't say much. I'm watching it going, don't say something dumb here. Don't say something about, don't say something about Joe Scarborough, please. Don't call whatever, Nancy Pelosi, a skank or whatever. I'm doing my usual holding my breath when Trump talks and off the cuff. No teleprompter, and he did it, and he did it fine. He held up the Bible, and it was fine. And then walked back. I thought it was a pretty good, powerful visual with Bill Barr and a bunch of other cabinet people and underlings. Kayleigh McEnany was there, of course. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty cool. Then you turn on whatever the news or get on Twitter, and you say, "Oh, he used tear gas and violated their constitutional rights."
No, Jerry. No, the most egregious thing about it was something that he just invented, Jerry, called a photo op. Nobody's ever heard of, because it was just invented yesterday, 2 days ago, a symbolic photo opportunity. So that was made to spread the word, symbolically spread the word that the White House and the executive branch and the seat of executive power in the country was safe and sound and was reclaimed. And that faith leaders were something that was on the mind of the president, that's a bad thing. Had Obama done,
they loved it, right?
Man of the Year edition would have come out yesterday, and he would have been there.
And when Bill Clinton had his Bible, which was just a cover of a Bible over a Hustler magazine, I think. But that was spiritual. I like, and in fact, I was arguing with. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Kirk Minahan, former, sometimes friend of mine.
It seems strange to hear you were arguing with anybody recently.
But that's when he, he mocks Trump, and sometimes I do too. I'm not going to say no one ridicules what Trump tweets more than I do, but he thought it was just a ridiculous photo op, and it was a photo op. But you know what I liked about it? It drove people nuts. It got the Catholic bishop came out and ripped them. And I don't think that's a bad narrative. No. If you're Donald Trump and this crazy sounding Catholic bishop comes ripping you, you're saying, wait a sec, that's a guy that, supports like Pelosi and the Kennedys and people like that. And, probably covered up crimes of priests in the past. So it wasn't a bad adversary to have at this time for Donald Trump. And he got Nancy Pelosi to open up a Bible and start reading it. That's a pretty good trick by the commander-in-chief.
And this is a president trying to soothe a nation where the epicenter of the race strife was not the president himself. Unlike 2009, when right out of the box, Barack Obama did the Cambridge Police Acted Stupidly thing, at a presser, starting on the presser saying, by the way, I don't know all the facts, but I do know the Cambridge police acted stupidly, creating his own racial strife event. And that, I seem to remember a beer summit. Right. I won't call it a photo op because those didn't exist then. It was all very organic. Crowley was going to be Washington having a beer, and so was Skip Gates as well. And in that being considered incredibly bright out of the box thinking by this administration,
and you know what,
some Irish guy a beer, and we'll talk to him.
And
or else they would have.
No kidding. The Cambridge police did not act stupidly; they did their job. Skippy Gates was making that up, and it worked for him. I got to say, it worked for him. The only problem I had was the cop Crowley, Jim Crowley. We had him on the show. It was a kind of a big deal. He ordered a blue moon. I'm like, a blue moon? Did they give you an orange too? It just wasn't. I wanted the Irish cop to get whatever, get a bud. Anyway, that is a good point. We were, I'd love to go back and look at some of the criticism of Obama took for taking making transparent kind of cynical photo ops, holding cynical photo ops. Not a lot of that. Obama was big on the Bible too, but you know, I guess people think he really meant it. Do I think Donald Trump's a man?
Whoa, Jerry. Obama had a spiritual leader for 20 years, actually, who had some incendiary things to say, I believe. And although he didn't glean anything from those 20 years, we were told, and John McCain, of course, wasn't allowed to bring it up. But right. I don't know that that guy was a uniter necessarily.
I don't think Jeremiah Wright was a very You know what he'd be saying if he were on the other side today? He would be saying, you know, he probably is saying it today, yeah, in Chicago, that the chickens have come home to roost. That's why, mm-hmm, you know, they're shooting cops. By the way, we're up to an Alabama. Four St. Louis cops were killed yesterday morning. Yesterday night, that would be two nights ago, Monday morning, four cops shot and wounded in St. Louis. Tuesday morning, a cop killed a retired cop, 77-year-old David Dern. And here's what you want to know, your next photo op. Trump's going, he's not going to go to the funeral, but he's going to invite the family or call the family of David Dern and maybe Patrick Underwood, the other cop, the other black cop assassinated in Oakland. Trump has tweeted about both gentlemen already, which is good. I think that someone should make sure that that their lives matter. I just tweeted out a story that has the picture and the bios of the bunch of black people, not just cops, much of black lives who've been snuffed out by rioters and looters. I think the top of the list, well, Patrick Underwood is the federal agent from Oakland, 53 years old. It goes through the whole list of people. David Dorn is going to become the face of this insanity that somehow his life doesn't matter as much as George Floyd's.
Yeah.
I mean, he was hired as a retired cop. Father, grandfather, was hired to protect a pawn shop, a freaking pawn shop. And some punks came in and shot him dead. People were videoing him lying there in a puddle of blood, which went viral. It went viral. I think Trump reacted to that. It was really intense and powerful. This poor old guy laying there in his own blood, assassinated because he dared to protect someone's property, a retired cop.
Yeah,
he died doing what he loved, which was doing his job and protecting the innocent people of that city, which is wild. I mean, you're looting and trashing places, and you think, you know, I'll take out this old man somehow. That you're down with the cause because you shoot this poor old guy dead. It's just madness.
Yeah. And like with the Floyd video, it's tough, very tough to watch. The guy's gasping there. He's dying in front of you. There's nobody helping him at that point. They're filming him.
They're filming
him. Waited to have to go. I mean, plus this guy spent a lot of time just doing the right thing. And that sucks. It's terrible. And they should bring attention to that, no doubt. But then again, there was never any division on Floyd. We all thought it was terrible. Everybody condemned it. Everybody wants those cops to pay the price. There was never.
It's truly. I mean, I can't say it enough. I know I said it yesterday, probably the day before, but the condemnation is across the board, universal. There's no support for Derek Chauvin. He's the cop who's in prison. He's going to stay there, and I think he'll die there, probably not of natural causes, which is fine with me. I don't care. The other three cops, I think, will be charged. Maybe they'll be convicted. Who knows? But there's no support for them. There's none. There is no division. There's no polarization here. We're all on the same side on that. Why can't we all be on the same side with looting and burning and murder of David Dorn and Patrick Underwood? Why can't we all condemn that? Why does that have to be qualified? Yes, I understand. You know, I understand their pain, their frustration. You understand the pain of people who are going, bringing guns and torching businesses, looting. You understand their pain, though. The pain of the guys who beat the older woman with the 2x4s. You understand their pain. I asked this yesterday. and night, and then I put it out on Twitter, is any of our elected officials in the Boston area, in Massachusetts, explicitly condemned the looters and the rioters? And because I don't, if it's quite the contrary, people like Ayanna Pressley are encouraging them. She's a congresswoman from Boston. Many, many businesses in her district were looted, were trashed, were vandalized. She doesn't care. Her heart's with the looters. And somebody sent me one tweet from the mayor, Mayor Walsh. And I'll say this, Walsh, you know, he can be a dope, but he seems like a decent enough guy. He doesn't. He's Charlie Baker does not. Charlie Baker is just crushing the life out of people. He's the governor. He is not a nice man, a compassionate man. Mayor Walsh seems like a decent guy who's just misguided, who's just not thinking clearly. But he sent out one tweet. It was condemning the violence and looters. It was after, I believe, two other ones thanking all the protesters for coming into his city. Yeah. So he wanted to say, I'm glad you came. It's wonderful. These rallies are wonderful, but I'm against the looting. That was it.
Right. It does not.
That was it. That's all I got from all the elected officials. Then you could check this, Dave. But
you know why that is, Jerry. You know why. When Walsh looked around, he saw what happened to Capuano, and he's like, man, the people with my template will not have these gigs very much longer. So he's trying to do whatever he can to extend the runway for himself. But the pandering and the inability for these politicians to have enough backbone to have real, honest conversations with the community, with community leaders, it only serves as a disservice. So now the new bar is, the new deal that you signed with these protesters is, it starts at you take a knee for us while we throw bricks. That's the new starting point now. From then, they'll look for more concessions, you know, the threat of violence right behind them, because you've legitimized it by playing ball this way. And it's terrible. Give me William Cross in a second. That guy is somebody, he knows law enforcement, he knows the community, he knows what good and bad is, he's got common sense, and he's got cojones. And for him to do that Facebook thing, against Rollins, keep it going, Cross, man. That guy is dynamic.
I was disappointed. Didn't go viral. Didn't go national. Not much. I mean, it was mentioned on some national news shows that I saw, but it wasn't a big deal. If you missed it, the police commissioner of Boston, his name is Willie Gross, big, you know, strong, voice in the city. He had a Facebook post where he claimed, and we believe him, there's no reason not to, that there it is, that the a couple of politicians and a group did not want the police to wear headgear, protective headgear, because it was intimidating to the looters, and the rioters. And as I tweeted yesterday, one cop, I think in Philadelphia, took a brick to the head and is in like critical condition. And these lunatics want to leave the cops vulnerable to the same thing, to that kind of violence. And we've seen it. Rocks, bricks, fireworks flying at them. Can you imagine the mindset of a politician saying, you shouldn't be able to wear a helmet with a face shield? You should go out there. Because that bothers the rioters and looters. Right. That is remarkable. And one of the people, we've mocked them in the past, is Cambridge rep Michael Connolly, this little doughboy, this pajama boy sitting back. Here's Michael Connolly blaming the cops. It is amazing. He says the cops use tear gas to break up a rally, a crowd of Black Lives Matter protesters. He said, I'm not sure how he checked the credentials of every one of them, but he said he's working on legislation to ban the use of tear gas. So he's doing real important work. You know, go back to back in the basement, you know, wait till mommy's making pancakes now.
He's also an idiot, Jerry. Tear gas is humane.
Chocolate chips. Tear he gas. Likes when mommy puts the chocolate chips in the pancakes.
And it's smiling.
Sometimes, right, she puts a smile, and sometimes she cuts them into shapes like a teddy bear. He likes to bite the ear off the teddy bear first. That's always his favorite part.
And he takes a knee. You know that he's taking a knee. He's
when mommy, when mommy heats up the Mrs. Buttersworth, oh, that's his favorite part. Just the way to get the day off to right start.
Tear gas is humane. It prevents violent protesters and police engaging in hand-to-hand combat where people die. So it disperses people peacefully. You know, his idea that it's not allowed on the battlefield. Well, it's not on the battlefield. That's right. They just bayonet each other on the battlefield. So tear gas is a humane way.
Cops have done an amazing job from coast to coast, border to border. I keep waiting to find that rogue cop who just snaps when one of these punks gets in their face. Yeah, and you've seen the video of some of these guys getting their face and try to taunt them. I saw it last night, guy, just right in their face. You suck, you killer, murderer. You. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying at some point, some cop, you know, young hothead, is going to say, screw that. And he's just going to smash one of these guys with a baton on camera, you know, break his head open. And then there we go. Then there's
did you see the story yesterday about the Massachusetts National Guard? The guy who, I don't know if he was on Snapchat, he said, his exact quote was, you're all stupid, and I can't wait to shoot you tomorrow night. He sent that on Snapchat on Monday, and I believe there's been some disciplinary action sent his way since. So
I mean, you expect them to be some, you know, guys like that, and one of them, because there's, you know, thousands of these rallies going on and these potential conflicts. You said one of them's going to snap, and it's going to get bad, and then you're going to have a whole new. You know, well, poster boy. We're going to move on from Derek Chauvin, and it's going to be some other rogue cop or rogue National Guard guy who's just hung over or had a bad night or whatever, and he's going to snap, and then there we go. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Flagship Wealth. We're living in crazy economic times, job changes, job losses. You may have a 401k out there that's not being actively managed. Well, Flagship Wealth has a free report called Managing Your Money in Retirement. Dave, give our listeners some idea about what's inside the guide.
Jerry, in these crazy economic times, it's important to take control of your retirement. Now, is this booklet the end-all, be-all for retirement planning? The answer is no, but it's a start. And I think one of the major pieces in this piece, if you will, is concerning your inventory. And a number of your listeners out there right now have left their 401ks, their 403bs at former employers and have no idea how they're invested, if they're in cash, if they're ultra aggressive, who the beneficiaries are. More importantly, can they get access to it that they could within an IRA account? So again, the bottom line is they get their hands on the book, take control of your retirement now. Now is not the market to let things go unguided.
Get the free report by going to flagshipwealth.com/retirement or click the link in our show notes. That's flagshipwealth.com/retirement to learn more and get a copy of the free guide, Managing Your Money in Retirement. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA/SIPC. I want to get to the most offensive thing, and we've been covering this thing from the beginning, and explaining to you, telling you all about the pander and pukes and government, the federal level. By the way, Joe Biden's moving up in that list. Mm-hmm. You know, I expect any minute now, you know, Joe Biden's going to say he's officially joined Antifa, you know, or Black Lives Matter or something. I mean, he's going to go back to that black dialect that he occasionally whips out when he's trying to pander. But he's getting close. Anyway, there's a attorney general, and we mentioned Keith Ellison's the attorney general of Minnesota. You don't get more radical than Keith Ellison. He's an avowed supporter of Antifa. Antifa, looters, rioters, anarchists. And the attorney general is outwardly supportive. His son, who's another elected official, is a member or whatever. He calls himself an Antifa guy. But here in Massachusetts, I heard the most offensive thing I've ever heard, or at least since this whole craziness started. Our Attorney General Maura Healey was asked about businesses being burned, looted, people destroying businesses in her state. This is a attorney general, which I believe means you're part of law enforcement. You are, in fact, the highest ranking member of law enforcement. You're supposed to enforce the law, correct? Or prosecute or convict. Or what? That's your job. She's asked about people burning buildings and burning businesses. She says, yes, America is burning. That's how forests grow.
Yes, America is burning, but that's how forests grow.
Now, if you heard that from some nutty state rep like that load from Cambridge, or you heard that from, you know, some crazy whatever, Seth Rogen, or some crazy, you know, politician, actor, whatever, activist, whoever, you'd say, okay, he's an idiot. This is the attorney general who trivializes the burning of businesses. I mean, that is so outrageous and so wrong, and she won't apologize, and no one will call her out. And you know what? She'll get reelected. You know, she's a good Democrat. She's I think she's a lesbian, right? She's hard left.
No, she writes scooter during Pride Parade. Of course she is. So but
it's nothing not wrong with that. I do that too. I do that.
Scooter. It's more, even more pathetic than your moped. But no, that's encouraging people to burn stuff down.
Exactly.
Saying that things are going to sprout anew in a better way, because what we have right now is kind of ugly. It certainly is not based on equality of outcome. We need something better. So let's burn it down and see what happens there. And so essentially stoking a racial aggression, which doesn't seem like something that the attorney general should be the tip of the spear doing, considering she is our law advocate. But do we get to call that Trump hate hotline that she set up November 9th of 2016?
It is amazing. She should be like a professor at Simmons College or Hampshire College. I mean, that's fine. You want to be a radical nut who hates this country? Good. Go teach, college kids. That's generally what the radical nuts do. This is the attorney general who is, you're right. I said she trivialized the violence. You're right. She's encouraging the violence. That means good things grow when businesses like restaurants in her home, area, in her home state, her home city, get burned. Stores get burned. We heard from a restaurateur, Mr. Patel, yesterday, talking about his business, his life being destroyed. Last night it was a Dunkin' Donuts, a guy's livelihood, his life being destroyed, burned. Every day you're seeing people. Yesterday there was a good viral video of an older black woman just going nuts because her restaurant, she owned part of a restaurant and worked there, and they trashed it. And she said, I'm not black enough. You destroy my business. And she just is emotional, distraught. And someone like Maura Healey says, yeah, big deal. Trees or forests grow from, and she doesn't just say like that street, Newbury Street is burning. She says America, the country is burning. And that's not only okay with her, but she sees good things ahead because of these fires.
Yes. Well, think of the logic, too. Remember, grown men had to be allowed to use the bathroom along with our little daughters who were 7 years old. They had to be. Grown men had to be, because if those grown men identified as something other than their biological gender, then they could be the recipient of violence somewhere. I don't know how big or numerous these assaults were, but we were told it was a very serious thing. But totally taking to the streets, slashing and burning, literally burning, and incursions, human-to-human incursions, including bricks thrown at each other, those are okay. Those aren't violent. Once again, those were, as Dave would say, peaceful. And it's incredible. An attorney general is not supposed to be an arsonist. This is
it's the disconnect is amazing to me that, I guess, she probably doesn't interact with, people, moderates, let alone Republicans. She doesn't interact with, entrepreneurs, business owners, people that have, working class people, immigrants who invested their life in a small restaurant. Those people mean nothing to her. In her circle of friends, radical, just, Antifa supporting nut jobs like her and Keith Ellison, they don't see any they like this. They're enjoying this because A, it hurts Trump, and B, it's disrupting the system. Their whole mindset is the system's corrupt, the system's racist. I mean, we have to blow it up. And again, you hear it from Cornel West, it's one thing. You kind of dismiss him. Cornel West isn't the attorney general of a state like Keith Ellison and Maura Healey. And here's what makes me laugh. And I've seen it over and over, and you have too, Shattuck, is the call for change. I mean, you heard it last night, the Tito Jackson at a Boston rally, but you hear it in New York and Philly and LA, change, change, we need change. And you sit there and you go, what are you talking about? You're going to get reelected. All the, Cuomo will get reelected. Baker, all these blue state liberal governors will get reelected. The mayors, Mayor Walsh will probably get reelected. Although you're right, maybe he's next on the list of the radicals want to take him out. But in L.A., Garcetti, they'll get reelected. They reelect the same politicians, the same attorneys general. they're not, this is not going to be any change in, you know, structural change in the system. I mean, you might fire some cops or whatever, but you're not going to change the power structure. They don't want it to change.
There needs to be complete change and turnover as long as it remains completely progressive and democratic.
As it remains completely the same.
Yes, exactly. And if you look at the, you know, for the last 50 years since the Great Society, the damage that's been done to families, we all know all this, that the encouraging essentially minorities to marry the government instead of you know, partners. And it's been horrible. But this is a conversation that they don't want to have. I mean, there is a conversation to be had, and it is not. There is certainly inequality. If you live in a black community, you can have a kid who's shot, and the kid who shot him lives next door, and nobody will snitch, nobody will inform. There's no sense that you've got any cover. The witness protection program is lacking. It's horrible. Also, if you're a 20-year-old guy and you live in Roxbury, you're a black guy. Chances are you're going to get rousted by the cops more than other people. There are times when they're going to be pinning you down with a knee on the back of your head, and it's got to be freaking humiliating. And there are reasons for this, and there are, you know, obviously there's a high propensity for crime in these areas, and so there are more suspects and yada, yada. But these are the conversations to have, because there is a legitimate conversation to have here. But this overt, just simply demonizing of one side, simply white supremacy comes from the top, that is politicians like Healy, politicians like now Charlie, and certainly Marty Walsh, simply demagoguing the issue for political gain and stepping over the actual conversation that could be had.
I once was doing an interview with Marty Walsh, and this was after he said that he was going to let illegal aliens live in City Hall to protect them. You know, it was going to be a sanctuary. They could live in his office. I'm not sure he ever followed through on that promise, but, you know, I asked him, as I have done in the past, I said, do you know who Matthew Denise is? Had no idea. You know, Kate Steinle, no idea. These are victims of illegal aliens, illegal aliens. You know that. I know that. But the mindset of a Marty Walsh or Maura Healey, or Keith Ellison, or any of that idiot governor in Minnesota, or the mayor, that little, you know, the cover boy, the mayor in Minneapolis, who looks like a
is it Fry?
Looks like a junior Justin Trudeau, you know, look like he's posing like a soap opera actor or something. That moron's out there apologizing, you know, to everybody after the looting. He's apologizing, you know, to the looters because they, I don't know, maybe they burned their hand when they're throwing a Molotov cocktail. But you know, these people don't care. They don't think. It's not like it's nefarious in their minds. Like Marty Walsh, I don't think he's a nefarious guy, but victims are irrelevant. They don't care about store owners or shop owners or restaurant owners who get torched, or if you were to ask, I don't know, one of the more prominent supporters of this movement, you know, ask, I don't know, whoever out there screaming, give me, you know, Chrissy Teigen or Seth Rogen or Cornel West or Spike Lee, say, you know, David Dorn is, they'd have no idea. You know, Patrick Underwood is, no idea. You know, do you know that woman who got beaten with the 2x4s in Rochester, New York? They would have no idea. It doesn't matter to them. Those people are collateral damage and they're irrelevant. And, you know, like the Attorney General says, Tom, forests must grow. That's how forests grow. So right. You don't burn down businesses. I mean, that is so, I can't even think about that. It's just
right.
So
playing favorites.
Attorney General.
You cannot have a civilization if you're playing favorites with one group over another. You ask somebody like Mike Capuano, why is it fair that illegal immigrants are allowed to be in your city having committed all sorts of fraud, including wire fraud, et cetera, just as a result of having fake IDs, et cetera. And he said, these people have it tough. These are some of the most unfortunate backstories in the United States that come with these people. And so you have to give them, you know, special consideration. And it's, first of all, you don't know that for a fact. It's BS. Second of all, you can't put some people over the others. What happened to Matthew Denise was incredible. They dragged this kid. They put this kid through hell. He was on his motorcycle and illegal hit him and then dragged him and then just left the scene. You talk to his mother, I'm sure you have, Maureen Maloney, and she can barely contain herself. Nobody listened to her. Nobody listened to her. She talks now and she loses it because she talks about now maybe she'd have grandkids, and she's got the pain is as fresh as the day that he was that it happened for her. And you're right. Nobody listened to her. And so she's one of these people who was not political, who went to Trump because he just would listen. That's it.
He said, right. And you remember the defense? And I don't want to get too into this story, but the defense was that the guy who killed Matthew Dennis, he was drunk, obviously. He had like 100 beers in him. But the defense was because of his ethnicity. What was he, like Guatemalan or Ecuadorian? He couldn't process alcohol the same way. That was the defense. So it was not his fault. His body didn't process alcohol because of his ethnicity.
Yes.
That's so nutty. But again,
you know, his liver stopped properly cleansing his bloodstream.
Yeah. I'm not sure that'll work for an Irish guy. That doesn't work for
him. No. Didn't he screw? Isn't he AWOL? Didn't he leave?
I don't know. We'll get back. That was a while ago. We'll get back into
Mormon,
it.
Yeah, anyway. But it's a lot it's about longer in consideration. And you know, some people, it sucks to be you. This is one of those states where if you look like a certain kind of person, you behave well, you're law-abiding, it just sucks to be you.
It's right. It's you against, you know, the criminals, in this case, looters and rioters who are tortured businesses, and your elected officials are on their side. Now, I would like to know, before I really sympathize with the business owner, did you vote for that fool? Did you vote for Mara Healey? Did you vote for Michael Connelly? Did you vote for Keith Ellison? Because if you did, I have a little less sympathy. I mean, if you voted for these people who are siding with the looters, then you're part of the problem. I mean, maybe you didn't anticipate this, but if you did any homework at all, you knew what kind of radical, you know, Keith Ellison was. You knew that, and you still voted for him. But anyway, that's, you know, maybe another day we can hear from some of these victims and find out if they indeed did support the elected officials who are rooting for their assailants. That's what they're doing. Mayor de Blasio is the best example. Now, he's such a high profile example that everybody's kind of catching on. Like, everyone knows what a fool he is. But his daughter is a radical. She got arrested for rioting, looting, whatever. She got arrested, and he said he's proud of her. And he called out the cops because that's what he always does. But can you imagine you're a cop or you're a law-abiding citizen or a store owner again, and the mayor's daughter is one of the rioters, and when she gets arrested, he says he's proud of her. Wait a second.
Yeah.
So you're the mayor, and you're proud of somebody who is trashing the city. It's just so nuts and so backwards.
Assaulting cops, remember. And then the police union, somehow her rap sheet leaked yesterday, Jerry. Did you see this?
I did not.
Somehow, and people are looking at law enforcement suggesting that the police patrolman's union in New York may have leaked her rap sheet. And that would be just a shame. But yeah, she's a punk. And
she made a face like for a mugshot. She mocked it, made a face. I'm sorry. I mean, I know I can't put myself in her shoes. Could you imagine your father or my father? You get arrested, not just arrested. You get arrested for rioting and looting, and your father, and you make a face and you make a mockery of the whole thing. And your father says he's proud of you. That's nuts. But he's a fool, and he's a buffoon, and he's fighting with Cuomo now. And he's, you know, people are coming at him from all directions.
Well, Jerry, can you imagine having thrown bricks at cops, then going up to the camera and declaring victory loudly? Can you imagine going home and then telling your dad what you did that night?
One more thing I want to get to before we get an update on Turtle Boy, who is missing. If you just,
I hope he's okay.
If you're just tuning in, Turtle Boy is missing.
I'm fearing for his life right now. But he was doing a live stream late last night. So
let's get to it, Cullen. And you said you've made contact with him. I see that you've tweeted. Lots of the turtle riders are trying to figure out what happened to him. Oh, Christ, here he is.
Yeah, I was going to let you do the Shay Reed. I was going to let you do the Shay Reed and just have him magically appear.
That's okay, I'm going to get to the Shay Reed and this other these couple other stories. But first, I want to start with you, Turtle Boy, the same way I started with Shattuck. I need you to get on your knees. Get on your knees and apologize.
No. Will that end it? Will that end this whole thing?
Yes, that'll end it. Then we'll forgive you. If you get on your knees with us, then we'll hug. And I don't
care. I assume you're not a fan of the kneeling.
I am not a fan of the kneeling. And
I like it.
So cops who kneel.
It's a means, Gary. It's a means to an end.
It's a terrible visual. It's symbolic. It's an awful look.
Oh, it is. It's a terrible look. It's a pathetic, terrible look. I cringe every time I see it. I think it's so silly. But then you think about it and you're like, that's how stupid these protesters are, is that this is all they need. This will satisfy them. That's all they want. Like, they consider
it will not. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? It will not. It's just a way to embarrass the Cubs.
You know why?
It's a simple way to embarrass the Cubs.
What is their goal? What do they hope to get out of this, Jerry?
Their goal is to drag it on. If you really must know, to drag it on and drag it out until November 3rd. That's the goal.
That's what the protesters' goal is.
That's why you think there's a lot of Trump supporters in those crowds?
No, I don't think they have any goals at all. I think they're just looking to throw a hissy fit and cause some damage. But then there's such simple-minded children that literally all it takes to please them is for some cop to get down on a knee, and then they all clap. Oh my God, I love the police now. You guys are
great. No.
Chad was referencing that girl. That girl yesterday who went up to the cop and said, you haven't taken a knee, and she had already taken a knee. Do you think that for any moment she's thinking about the election? She's not thinking about it.
Oh, she's such a moron. Do you think she's like, oh my God, I love the cops now. Why haven't you taken a knee yet? She's literally.
So you think once they kneel, they love the cops? They still hate the cops.
No, they do that. But maybe they won't break something that night. I don't know. Maybe just shut them up for five minutes.
Right. Obviously, they all want to bring down Trump. That matters. But they also want, I don't know, a pair of Air Jordans, maybe a new watch.
Like that woman last night.
Maybe a cheesecake.
You think that woman last night was going to loot?
One woman, no. But no. Some of the people, yes, yes. We saw it. Some of the people did. By the way, when they looted the Dunkin' Donuts, did they get donuts? Did they get munchkins? Bagels? I mean, okay. What did they get out of there?
I don't know. I don't think they're fresh that late at night. But, I mean, think about it. Like, back in when Martin Luther King was protesting, they were doing it because there was an end goal. And that was the Civil Rights Act that they hoped to get signed. And there was an actual light at the end of the tunnel that they wanted. These people don't have a goal. They're just protesting for the sake of protesting. So if their goal is to get a cop to take a knee, then so that's all they want. The cops are like, okay, you stupid idiots, I'll take a knee, whatever.
As you and I talked about yesterday, and Shattuck, and, I mean, let's be honest, looting and rioting, especially when you can steal stuff with no consequences, it's a lot of fun. I mean, what'd you do last night? Oh, we went in a Foot Locker. Yeah. Shoes, clothes, we broke a window. Yeah, what did you get? I mean, it's just a game. There's no real,
yeah, but there's a lot of
noble goal at the end of this.
There's a lot of different factions in there. There's a lot of kids are just 18 years old, and it's total anarchy, and it's a mob mentality, and it's a rush, and some of the kids are stealing stuff, and some of the kids, it's a little bit like, you know, enjoying the first Patriots win. It was unbelievable. It was a powder keg. It's fun, except that was just happy. And I don't think too much got broken, but they do now have demands. Different constituencies have different demands. So some people want reparations. That's a guy from BT wants 11 trillion in reparations. There's a lot of trillions going around right now. So if everybody, and some people want there to be investments. What they want is the people who take a knee, the liberals from Cambridge who had to take a knee. They want them to invest in different black-owned businesses, et cetera, et cetera.
Which brings me to this story I want to get to before we get to the NBA, the wokest league. Before I get to the story about black-owned businesses, Turtle Boy, what happened today? Did you just oversleep?
Okay, first of all, I need to get better sleeping habits. Yes, I stay up way too freaking late reading and writing stories and shit. And then my phone died, and my phone is my alarm.
Phone died.
Yeah, my human, the kids normally are the natural alarm clock. I don't know what's wrong with them. They decided to sleep.
I'm like one of those athletes who gets hung over and says, "I got food poisoning," like Michael Jordan. It was a bad pizza. That and
I got Corona. How about that? I got the coronavirus. Finally.
You had a Corona. Did you have like 10 Coronas?
Yeah. Now I have the virus. So
I was gonna sit there and blow kisses at you for some great blog posts, some great stories this week. You are on a roll. But screw that. You slept. Overslept.
I thought somebody whacked you. You got a lot of enemies out there.
It could be, man. I mean, I had a guy at a live stream last night. He said he's sending an Amazon mail bomb to my house. Showed up in a comic.
Yeah, but you know what? These days, Amazon is way behind. It's not like the old days where it's there the next day. You have like 6-7 days to live now with Amazon.
That's true. You get a reprieve.
By the way, By the way, one of your blog posts was comparing you to Portnoy, which I loved because, you know, I'm with you. I like Portnoy. I respect what he's done. He's worth $100 million. How can you not respect that? But the blowback on him, I mean, he's really not a villain anymore. He's not a bad boy anymore. He's kind of everybody's favorite funny guy. You go through all the threats that you've had and all the lawsuits, and there's no comparison. I mean, you are the most wanted blogger out there as far as
I think, you know. Dave knows deep down inside. There's a reason Dave spent, like, even put any worry. Like, why is he worried about me at all? Like, if he's David Portnoy, he's a multimillionaire. But I think deep down inside, he knows that it's not as fun as it used to be 10 years ago for him. Like, it was fun when he was just writing blogs, crapping on people, saying whatever he wants. I mean, he's the guy that put Brady's kids' naked pictures out there. And you know what I love about him, Dave? He didn't back down. He didn't back down. To this day, he still stands.
Never apologize. To this day, he doesn't apologize for that. I mean, I was there. He was a regular on my show when he did it. And he was forced off by our bosses, which bothered me because I wanted to have him on. It was a big deal, and argue about it, talk about it. And they said, no, you can't have him on. Yeah. You can't talk about it. And that was it for his. That's but why I hate
the fact that he just didn't back down, because it's funny. People should be allowed to say funny things, push boundaries, do things that are like a little out there. Because when I read that, I'm like, that's funny. I don't care. It's a little edgy. It's going a little too far, maybe, but it's funny. It made me laugh. So who cares? And I think that we need more of that in the world. And I think, you know, I love the product that Dave Portnoy built. I admire him. I'd like to be like him one day, obviously. That we, you know, who wouldn't? He's worth a lot of money. But at the end of the day, he's brought in a lot of people, and a lot of them are like 23-year-old, 24-year-old morons who don't know anything, who should stick to Rihanna.
What set you off was, and we talked about it here, the celebrities. We went through all the celebrities. I went off. I got my little jihad against Steve Carell, who I used to like, and now I hate him because he's sending money, giving money to rioters and looters. That's what they're doing. By the way, just yesterday, Airbnb gave $500,000 to Black Lives Matter. I mean, that's just, you know, blackmail. No, whatever. The protection money is what it is, like the old mob movies. It's a wonderful restaurant you have there. I hate to see it go up in flames. Their people are paying this money to these groups, Black Lives Matter, by the way, who wants to eliminate the police. That's part of their agenda. Yeah. Eliminate police. So they're mainstream. Anyway, the celebrities and others, and you said a bunch of Barstool employees are donating money to rioters and looters. Now, that's not mainstream. That's not.
Here's the thing, Jerry. It has become mainstream. I did a rant on this by night. Like 5 years ago, Black Lives Matter was kind of like a radical fringe movement. They were blocking highways. We were all laughing at them. It was a big joke, blah, blah, blah. But it has seeped into popular culture when banks and Nike and all these major corporations are now promoting them. Yeah, and yes, that's when Barstool, which is just a trendy, you know, blog, basically, that's when it becomes cool to them. It's become cool to support Black Lives Matter because they don't even know what it sounds like. It's like Antifa, anti-fascist, Black Lives Matter. It's like on paper, you're like, cool. Yeah, I'm anti-fascist. Cool. Yeah, Black Lives Matter. Definitely. Sure. Yeah, yeah. It just sounds good, but they don't know what it actually stands for.
Right. Or you have simple-minded people like Don Lemon or Chris Cuomo or Andrea Mitchell saying, you know, they're anti-fascist. That's what they are. And you're going, are you paying attention? Are you watching the news? They're burning buildings, you idiot. Anyway, here's the story I was going to get to. And, you know, I didn't see this on Turtle Boy blog. I saw it on the Boston Globe's website. It's not the most popular story. The most popular story on Boston Globe's website is still Charlie Baker gives details about the next phase. Take your phase and stick it, you clown.
Well, I think what phase is the riot phase?
But here's a story that they come up with, and it's here's a list of black-owned businesses that you should support. Now, I'm sorry, if the business is good, if the food's good at the restaurant, absolutely support it. But we're supposed to like print out this list and say, I'm going to go to only black-owned businesses and. What does that solve? What's the message? Say you're telling your kid about this. Here's what we're going to do. We're only going to go to black-owned businesses. You need a pair of sneakers or, you know, want to get some lunch? Let's check the list. And I mean, what if it's – I saw a story on this on the TV news on one channel And it was one of the partners was black and the other guys were white. And I'm like, does that count? Do they make the list? I mean, I can't help but feel someday we're going to look at this and say,
what if it's a franchise?
This is silly. I got the whole list in front of me.
If you're a black guy who owns a Dunkin' franchise?
It's a good question. You know what? The hell with him. Torch it like they did last time.
Well, that's a good point, Jerry, because Google has, you know, if you Google a restaurant, it'll say whether they're open or closed. Will it also say if it's been burned to the ground? Like that guy's place in Minnesota, the guy who was a cop for years and then opened up a barbecue place before it was torched.
Life savings. He had no insurance. They burnt it to the ground. Now, would Steve Carell think of sending him money? Nah. We want to send money to the guy who lit the fire. Now, it doesn't look like there are chains, although I don't know all my chains, but lots of restaurants, ice cream, you know, stuff like that. Wings, lots of places. Oh, they have little asterisks next to it if if they're open yet. So if they're open for take, so they're not open yet because of, I guess, there's still a virus. Yeah. But when they open, here's a list with the owners. Some of the owners are black, and you should go there. And if the place next to it doesn't have a black owner, don't go there. I mean, is that progress? Are we making progress? Is this a good step in the right direction? It just seems.
Gary, so here's my question: when do we charge people with inciting a riot? Like last night or two nights ago in Worcester, there was probably 5,000 people showed up for a protest, and a woman got up there and gave a speech in which she said, "Like, you have no right to criticize how we whatever. If people are looting as white people, you can't say anything about that. You can't criticize that. Blah blah blah." Well, that night, only two businesses in Worcester got looted, both of them minority owned. And a speaker at a government sanctioned event told people to loot. How is that not inciting a riot?
It's a good question. It is. In other words, it is. But it is amazing how many people are getting away with it, you know, and they're arresting plenty. And there's a, you know, Howie Carr's a good column today. There's a good story in the Herald about the details of every arrest.
No, you just go to those restaurant owners in Worcester and explain to them as they're, putting pitchers of water on the last of the embers that's how forests grow.
That's how forests grow. Here's the woman, New York Times writer, Nicole Hannah Jones. She won the Pulitzer for the 16, 18, whatever that series, which is all bullshit, completely debunked by historians. The thing about how America was built on slavery and all that. And, you know, it was like a Mike Barnicle, Kevin Cullen special. She won the Pulitzer for it. She says, quote, destroying property, which can be replaced, is not violence. So literally burning a building down, burning a business, torching it, smashing it, breaking all the windows, that's not violent, according to this nut job. That's redundant. Nicole, New York Times writer, nut job. Nicole Hannah Jones. That's not violent. It is amazing. We can't agree, as I've said for days now, we can't agree that looting is wrong, that torching buildings is wrong. There's some people, it's not so bad. And some of them are in law enforcement. Some of them are in very powerful positions. Again, Maura Healey said, yes, America's burning, but that's how forests grow. That could be the most offensive thing I've ever heard. You got to do a blog on that, Turtle Boy. But yeah. I got another big story. We got to get to the NBA. To get to the NBA. And as I pointed out in a tweet, if anyone, NFL, anyone thinks they're going to outwoke the NBA, they got another thing coming. You can't. It is not possible to outwoke the NBA. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. First, this is for you homeowners and you home builders. Did you know my brother-in-law, Greg, has a huge selection of precast concrete steps at Shea Concrete? Well, he does. I've told you that before. I'll tell you again, whether you're building a new home or you need to replace an old stair on an old home, Shea has great values with designs for any home, available in concrete or customized with beautiful stone, granite, or brick. Somebody sent me a picture of their new steps. They had like kids on it. I think they were graduates on the steps, and they were all lit up, and they were beautiful, beautiful steps. Beautiful steps. A new staircase can dramatically upgrade the front entrance to your home. In most cases, the guys at Shea can remove your old stairs and have you walking up your new front steps within hours. Well, it's time to get that spring project done. This is an easy one. You can get this done with the help of the folks at Shea Concrete. Give them a call or just log on to SheaConcrete.com and learn all about Shea's precast concrete steps. That's SheaConcrete.com, and make sure they get you a hat. This story is, to me, it was so bizarre. I had to, you know, read it twice, and I shouldn't be surprised. I'll just ask you guys if you're surprised. Here's the latest. Oftentimes you see people step in it, say the wrong thing, say dumb things. I've done it. Other people have done it, and it comes out wrong, and someone pretends to be offended. And the next thing you know, your job is on the line. It happens. We've seen people, you know, lose jobs and their lives are ruined because they said the wrong thing. Well, a play-by-play guy out in Sacramento, a guy, 60-year-old guy, been in, for years, been in the league for years. Grant Napier is his name. And he was conversing with somebody, a player, I believe. And he said, quote, here's the quote, "All lives matter, every single one." That's it. All lives matter, dot, 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 every single one. When he was asked if Black Lives Matter, and he said, all lives matter. And Grant Napier is out of a job. He technically resigned, but he was fired for saying, all lives matter, every single one. Have we reached peak, forget wokeness, peak madness? Is this the craziest, you know, guys in trouble for what he said or tweeted story that you've ever seen?
And I want me to be Alex Reamer for a moment.
Yes, I love when you're Alex Reamer. Okay.
Jerry, obviously a dog whistle. Everybody knows that when you say Black Lives Matter and then somebody writes All Lives Matter, there was a forum on QAnon that said that obviously that's what you say if you're in the white nationalist. So obviously that's hate speech, Jerry.
That's not Reamer, that's Trenny. But
that's their argument. That's literally their argument. Is that by
so what? To me, you could make that argument. That shouldn't be a winning argument. That shouldn't be a persuasive argument. It's ridiculous. You can twist it all you want. The words are the words. And the guy said, all lives matter, every single one. And you know what he meant? He was trying to do? Be patronizing, saying, yes, of course, all lives matter. He was trying to say the politically correct thing. And he did just the opposite because you're not supposed to. And by the way, somebody on Twitter was coming at me. And I ignore them. I ignore most of them.
Ironhead guy
trying to get me to say all lives matter on Twitter, and then he was going to run with it, whatever, and whatever. And I just ignored him. And Turtle Boy stepped in, like my muscle, and stepped in and said, "You know, you're a fool. You think I'm going to say all lives matter here? You know, send that out there, retweet it, and and
see." Well, he kept asking you, "Do you think Black Lives Matter?" And he wants you to say all lives matter. So I respond back. It's like, yeah, of course, Black Lives Matter. The beauty of that is nobody ever said it didn't.
So no, exactly. You know what I'd say to him? Yes, of course, Black Lives Matter. You know, David Dorn matters. Patrick Underwood matters. Do they matter to you? Do they matter to, you know, all the, do they matter to, I don't know, Keith Ellison? Do they matter to Chrissy Teigen and Steve Carell? Did David Dorn matter to them? I would throw that right back on them because I don't think they do. Of course, if you say all lives matter, that means Black Lives Matter. That means all lives matter. That means blue lives matter.
Yeah, it's clever, though. It's a clever way to frame the argument so that it's only one specific niche in a silo, and you can't bring in equivalencies, and you can't bring in other arguments that would bring more symmetry to the conversation. So it's a clever thing to say. Antifa Dave's friend Ashton Kutcher just released a video on this where he's crying in the video saying, now I understand. Now I understand it because the experience is unique. The experience is unique. And I get it. But to say all lives matter, but that guy, the NBA guy, was saying it is really to acknowledge that party's grievance, but to expand it to everybody. It's kind of a really beautiful thing to say. Unfortunately, it's completely fatal now to say it.
Right. So, I mean, the NBA, again, you know what he should say? He said, yeah, you're right. All lives don't matter. Obviously, Taiwanese lives don't matter, right? Taiwanese
lives. Uyghurs,
Hong Kong freedom fighters, their lives don't matter. Right. Is that good, Adam Silver? I mean, there was people praising this on on Twitter, on social media, praising the fact that they fired a guy for saying all lives matter. And by the way, an upstanding guy like DeMarcus Cousins said, good.
Well, Jerry, I know that you and Aiden made your avatar black yesterday for Blackout Tuesday. But those advanced panderers love this kind of thing. You know, guilty white people love this kind of thing. It's so that they can show even more just how virtuous they are. No, it's not all lives. It's black lives. It's a unique experience. You don't get it. You need to understand and listen while they're sitting on one knee, you know, just begging for a pat on the head so they can feel better about growing up in Concord and having a Range Rover. Yeah.
I said this many times about talk radio, sports radio in particular, that everyone's playing scared. Everybody. They saw what happened to me and Menahan, and everybody's just watching everything, unless you're just, you know, totally vapid and you don't have any, you know, original thoughts and just spewing cliches. You're kind of wondering, you know, could I be next? Could, if I say the wrong thing, if I slip up here, am I dead? Am I a dead man? So everyone's playing scared in talk radio. I think everyone's playing scared everywhere now. Everybody, whether you're in politics or the media or just a lowly blogger from Worcester, you're saying, you know, am I going to say the wrong thing today? Not that you're not. Yeah. I mean, we know that. We've chronicled that. Turtle Boy says the wrong thing all the time. But you know when you step in it. You know, here's my old friend Dale Arnold on Twitter yesterday.
Oh my God!
He's got the black screen.
Oh no! There's no way.
It's Dale Arnold. What do you expect?
But it's not his it's not his avatar. It's just a black screen, and it says "Live, love, listen, learn." Hashtag Blackout Tuesday.
Jesus.
Once again, listen.
This is so emasculating.
Live, love, listen, learn.
I'm embarrassed for these people. It's so humiliating. It's literally a cult. Matt Walsh put out a video yesterday. I think I retweeted it last night of people just weep. So there's a black woman on stage and there's literally hundreds of white people kneeling in front of her and just repeating verbatim. It's like, this is a cult. Do people not see this? The language that they use, the words they use, that Ashton Kutcher video. I mean, that's what you do in North Korea when you steal a ham sandwich. You go on there and I am very sorry for stealing from the state. What you don't realize is that stealing is actually bad. No one should ever steal. That's what, this is insanity.
Well, this is what happened last night. Speaking of that, in New Jersey, in Jersey City, I'm reading from a story right now from journalist Michael Tracy. A crowd predominantly of white protesters chants "take a knee" at a group of predominantly non-white Jersey City police officers who are then booed when they decline to take a knee and join the crowd. So these woke white assholes, these Antifa punks, along with these suburban, you know, soccer mom types, these Karens, they demand the black cops take a knee before them. And the black cops, God bless them, say, go screw. We're not bowing before you. They don't do it. And they boo them. So black guys wouldn't bow down before whites. And they get booed and criticized for not kneeling before their, you know, the protest. It's just bizarre. We've gone so far round the bend. It's just bizarre. That's why I don't like anybody kneeling before anyone. Damn it. Get off your knees. Boston cops.
You don't Jersey kneel. Cops,
don't kneel. Wait, no. What are you talking about? You can't go to church. You're not allowed to go to church.
That's true. Huh?
You're going to go to church? What are you, what? Outlaw?
You can go to church with 10 people.
I just checked the phases and we're not at phase 3 yet. Well, Charlie will let you. We'll let you know when we get to phase 3.
They actually had a quote saying that basically to the effect of that, you know, when someone asked why can't churches open, he's like, well, that's not really necessary, but this protest is, because to them, this is their religion, right? Wokeness is what they believe in. It's what they subscribe to. There's no bigger deity than wokeness, and that's ultimately what they kneel to. That's why they're literally on their knees, because it's religion.
You know, right, as we talked about yesterday, the mayor of Boston was asked why he allowed the protest, because they're not social distancing. They're violating curfew. Clearly, they're breaking all his rules. He says, we're big believers in free speech. You know, free speech comes. And I'm thinking, wait a second. that doesn't include priests on the altar or graduation speakers. That doesn't include, you know, any, you know, other rallies. That doesn't include friggin' Little League games. You can't do any of that. That's not freedom of speech.
Do grandmas not die if they got COVID as a result of somebody else's free speech somehow? Yeah. You get Newbury Street here forced to close down, you know, it's essentially the shopping gem epicenter of Boston, of tourism, et cetera, which is forced to close down, because of huge government overreach, who said, no, turn the lights out. Nobody can come in here. Get rid of all the chairs, whatever. And then when government doesn't overreach, when they do absolutely nothing, they're forced to board up now. You know, right. It's like both sides of the bureaucracy's incompetence now on display on Newbury Street, which is now just another street with boarded up buildings. And where
did you see the big Saks Fifth Avenue in New York? They're boarded up, obviously, and they put chain link fence around the wood, around the plywood, and then razor wire, and then hired this big security team of badass private security guys surrounded it. And I guarantee you that this was last night. You'll see today someone say, this is a bad look, this militaristic look. They did it with the Lincoln Memorial. Martha Raddatz said she was very disturbed because there were a whole bunch of National Guardsmen around the Lincoln Memorial, which got trashed the day before. Mm-hmm. So they don't like that look of military people protecting these monuments, protecting, you know, the greatest civil rights activist of all time, the greatest president we've ever had. They're protecting him. And Martha Raddatz, another old crank from the far left, didn't like that look.
No. But
we got to get to, you know, Turtle Boy's got to go back to bed. We woke him up a little early today.
I'm ready to go.
We got to get to the biggest, and again, I know I'm sick of kissing your ass, but you had some great posts. The Portnoy post was good, or not Portnoy post. You're criticizing Portnoy's minions, these nobodies who are giving money to the rioters and looters. But in their defense, as you point out, they're just young and they're dumb and they don't even know what they're doing. You know, Portnoy doesn't care. He doesn't want to get political. He wants to avoid that at all costs. And it's okay to get political one way, just not the other. But anyway, you outed the biggest Karen, one of the worst people. And I couldn't believe reading this post about this woman. She's a hairdresser, of all things, a hairdresser who was a total Karen and hated you if you dared to demand they open up the economy. A hairdresser. These were the people on the front lines. You know, my friend, we had him on the podcast. He was dying to open up. His business was struggling. He had to open up. This woman not only criticized the protesters and the who want to open up the economy, but she's big into, you know, Antifa, Black Lives Matter. She's a radical nut in outside of Boston who on one weekend decided to go to New York and just party and come home and maybe bring the virus home or not. Doesn't matter. She doesn't care about anyone. But tell me more about this evil, evil woman in Medford.
So it's like, so this woman is openly, it's become the new virtue signaling thing for woke white people to pretend that looting is cool. Like, oh no, we don't have the right to police them as they grieve. That's we as white people, we don't want to do that. That's racist, blah, 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 blah. So she's subscribed to that. But the awkward part is she owns a business, obviously. So what if your business were looted? Well, her business is in Medford. So they're not going to go that far. They're not crossing the Mystic River and they're going to stay in Boston and they're going to destroy. So basically she's saying, yeah, destroy businesses. Those businesses, not mine, just destroy them. And I've never seen a bigger hypocrite than this. And like you said, she's literally posting about, oh, you're going to die if you get coronavirus. There was a real arrogance that came along with that from, you know, DuPont and all these people like, oh, look at these simple minded morons. They don't even know about the curve.
They're going to kill us all. Right. We're going to thin the herd. All those Trump supporters are all going to die because they went to the state house and demanded they would be allowed to go back to work. They were, you know, troglodytes. But these people now they're woke.
Yeah.
I mentioned this before we woke you up. Chaddock and I talked about this. The line of protesters walking by a hospital in New York, a whole line of them.
Yeah.
And the nurses and doctors came out in their scrubs and cheered. They cheered.
Don't even get me started.
Same, you know, people who they're not social distancing. You know, they're not. They're shaking hands. They're not wearing gloves. Some are not wearing masks. They're 2 feet apart. And the nurses and doctors who shamed us and others who dared to go out in public without a mask or leave your house. They were shaming you, saying selfish. These people are cheering the protesters.
I don't want to hear another word from people who are mad about me because they came after healthcare workers. Every time I get, why are you going after healthcare workers? Because they're just as much as part of the problem. I'm sorry. You forced us to go outside every night at 7 o'clock and bang pots and pans. Alec Reamer, is out there clapping for you every night because he stayed home for you. We did this all for you. We sacrificed for you. And the second a large mob forms, you join it. So clearly, you didn't mean any of that. The only thing you liked was the lack of traffic on your commute to work, you selfish narcissist.
What if you're somebody who's been in the oncology unit of that hospital for 4 months now, and you've had to see these people go out and, you know, practice for their performance of cabaret that they're going to do for social media, and then stand in front of evil Trumpers who just want their businesses open, and now are, you know, down with the Black Lives Matter situation. I love nurses. I think they're angels, but they seem to have a lot of time in their hands, man.
That's something, you know, you're right. Some nurses are working all the time. Others aren't. But my favorite was when they imitated the Titanic and they were like DiCaprio and what's her face in the front of the.
Is that real? I saw.
Why do you think that's a spoof?
Well, I don't know. I looked into it. I couldn't find it. Like, usually somebody names the hospital where it is. That was a weird one. That was really bad.
All right. We'll let you go back to bed. Turtle boy, you got any good stuff coming today? You got any?
Oh yeah. We got a lot of good stuff coming as usual. Inbox is full. Got to get back to work.
I have a story that I might be pitching Turtle Boy later this afternoon about a local radio personality.
So, ooh,
yeah, I'm teasing this. I'm teasing this.
Am I going to enjoy this?
Can I get a byline on Turtle Boy Sports or TurtleBoyDailyNews.com?
Does it involve Dale Arnold in cosplay?
No. It's not. I know. Yeah. So you'll probably reject it. Yeah.
Does it involve someone whose Twitter page or his Instagram page is blank? Is black?
I would assume. So. Well, no, probably not. I'd say they don't. They're probably not on Instagram personally. So we'll see. We'll see if we break a little news.
Dave. We need a little bit more here.
I have to investigate it more. I'm a journalist first and foremost, so I have to investigate. I'm not a blogger. I don't just throw things out there like some people who are on this feed. I'm a journalist who has to investigate things.
Is the blackout over? That was just one day, the blackout Tuesday. So now it's not blackout Wednesday, right? We're cool. You know, we don't have to live, laugh, and learn anymore.
We'll get our Antifa Dave will pass along whatever virtuous orders we have to pander later in the day, I assume.
I don't know. Turtle Boy came in and he backed all my points right there. He came in and said that there was a lot of people there that weren't looting. They were peaceful. So whatever. He should be Antifa Aiden then.
What are you talking about? I've never said that. They're all douchebags.
Is it over? Is it tonight? There's no rioting, right? Looting is it over?
Might be over.
Pittsburgh's the next one. So now the JV team's coming in.
Leah in the comments was saying Plymouth possibly tonight. So yeah, Plymouth. I'll look at it, yeah.
Plymouth. Wow.
The JV squads are going, Jerry.
They haven't attacked the malls yet. I know the cops were guarding the malls, but there could be a Natick Mall or Burlington Mall, you know, uprising. A lot of stuff in there, man. Can someone explain to me? They went into a jewelry store in Manhattan and stole, I forget the number, like, you know, $10 million worth of Rolexes. Why were they in there? Didn't they see this coming? The owner of the place couldn't get the watches out before the crowd came in.
Insurance scam.
Well, I mean, he didn't expect the mayor of the city to tell the police to sit down. You know, even
maybe that
somebody
maybe that's Tom,
in the
Tom
head with a brick, you're not allowed to pull a gun.
Maybe that's why the mayor was so proud of her daughter. Maybe she got a Rolex out of the deal. But that my other question was, and I guess it's not a question, but it's just an observation that I loved, was the Apple store. All the phones they stole have been deactivated. They're all useless. So all these idiots who were running down the street with the phones saying, look what I got, a new iPhone 11. Those phones are useless. First of all, why don't they track them? Can't they do that and catch the guys who stole the phones? I mean, because I was thinking, if you were a looter.
Right on that, Jerry.
If you were a looter, now, you could be a looter, Aiden. You're young enough. You look a little radical. You got your head shaved. You put a black hoodie on and a little, like a black bandana, you could do it. What would you go? Where would you go if you were in Manhattan or in, you know, whatever, downtown Boston? What would your goal be?
I don't know. I would like to smash a car. I mean, it's like that last scene of, you know, McLovin in Superbad when they light the car on fire and they shoot at it. Like, if you were just some like 19-year-old, you know, with nothing to do and, you know, you're angry at the world and you kind of want to rebel a little bit and you're just allowed to destroy a car, like, I see the appeal. I'm not going to lie.
I would be thinking of getting something, though, like whatever, a stereo, a watch or headphones or, you know, sneakers. I mean, wouldn't you want to come
gotta
home? Go,
you got to find a store that has like a lot of different items. And unfortunately, there's not too many that has everything. I'd probably personally, this would be my move. I don't know if anyone else would do this. I'd get a forklift and I'd go right through. That would be my move.
I got that. If you haven't seen it, I tweeted out. It's the most amazing video. And I would love to ask, you know, Maura Healey or Keith Ellison or one of these other idiot from the New York Times that stole the bullet. Ask them, if you haven't seen this, a looter in Fairfield, California takes a forklift. It's a big forklift too. It's not a little one that you see in the hardware store. It's a big ass forklift and drives it right through the front door of Best Buy. And there's a bunch of people laughing in video and no cops anywhere. And I realize that cops have been stretched thin, but why couldn't a cop be around Best Buy? I think that'd be a place to hang out if you want to stop looting. But if you haven't seen it, it is wild. Dave, you can retweet or tweet that out.
Because sure, you may think I'm biased about this, guys, but I think the woman who stole the cheesecake was the best. Not only did she steal it, but she held it right.
That is one of the funniest videos, and it's been tampered. There's one where like Brian Stelter's head is on the girl, his body at the cheesecake. And, you know, to be honest, she went in, she took it out of Cheesecake Factory, right?
Yeah.
She literally took a cheesecake from Cheesecake Factory. That was her.
Why do they have fresh cheesecake in there? I thought they were locked down.
That's a good question. Maybe they have takeout. Maybe it's stale. Maybe it's just window dressing. But she was very proud of herself. She got a free cheesecake. I'm thinking I'd rather go for the Apple Watch, but that's me.
When my people, the mildly overweight, finally take to the streets, it's going to look a lot like that, Jerry. It's going to have you have a different look and feel.
All the Thousand Island dressing's going to be gone.
Damn right.
Lots of restaurants, as we know, lots of restaurants got looted. I don't know. They were probably looking for cash and, you know, looking for valuables rather than looking for cheesecake. But you never know, Tom. I'm not sure, you know, I don't want to see you crawling through a broken window, you know, like to go in there and get some food. That would be a bad look. I haven't seen too many fat looters.
No, I don't want to even take a knee. To be honest, the process of getting up is arduous. But Well, I'll do my looting from home here, where there's no way to get hurt.
All right. Well, thanks for rolling out of bed, Shattuck. I wish I could say the same for you, Turtle Boy. Go feed the chickens now, Tommy. Go break some news, would you, Turtle Boy? This is your time.
I'm on. I'll redeem myself.
Yeah, you can read Shattuck and the Little Son. Although he doesn't always have a byline, you can kind of tell when it's him because it's good stuff, good media criticism. I'm looking forward to your whole take on this madness. I hope you're writing some about, you know, CNN and the peaceful protest. mostly peaceful protest. That's what we now call riots. We call them mostly peaceful protests. But, you know, hopefully we're done with them. I'm done with them. No more looting, no more rioting. Let's get on to phase three. Please, Governor, can we get on to phase three? I really want to go to a restaurant. Please, I want to go to a driving range. Governor, please, could you let me hit a bucket? Please make it phase three. Thank you, sir. All right. Thanks to all you guys, and thanks to Shake Concrete. Thanks to Allied Paving, and thanks to DCU. Thanks to everybody who listens and rates and reviews and tells your friends. We need your help. We need your reviews. We need your five-star ratings. Anything else going in?
No, I think that's it. Rate, review, subscribe.
Love rate, it. Review, subscribe. I'm Jerry Callahan, and this is the Callahan Podcast. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Why am I stopping? No one else stops.
Can I go home?
The Jerry Callahan Podcast.